Hello everyone and welcome to ENBC at Home. Welcome David, good to have you here today. And this is our Harvest Sunday service. And Harvest has always been a time where we look and we give thanks to God for his provision in his life, for his goodness and his care of us. And I just want to read to you some words at the start of our service from Psalm 100. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. At ENBC, we love at harvest time, always take a kind of global look on what's happening, particularly in the work of BMS World Mission. So David's going to tell us about a video we're going to watch.
Yeah, thanks Mark. Yeah, we're going to watch a video from BMS, and as has been said, this is a focus that we have our harvest service every year. And this year, our video is going to show us and focus in a hospital in Chad and how they have handled the whole COVID pandemic. Following that, Nicola is going to pray as well. And just a wee reminder, if you want to give to the work of BMS, there is a link in the website that will enable you to do that as well.
Thanks, David. And then after Nicola's prayed, there's going to be another clip. Rory was, and Mary were down at the church and people were bringing stuff in for the food bank. And we're just going to watch a little clip from what took place yesterday in the church. So let's enjoy watching these clips. Let's engage with God today with thankfulness in our hearts, because his love does endure forever.
Well, I'm praying up every day that God will protect us. I pray that God will protect our team. So taking precautions, but praying a lot so that God will prevent us from being caught in COVID. The heat is there and the fear of coronavirus is there. There is a lot of stress.
How are you tired?
Well, I'm still carrying on. It's fine. That's my normal life.
I feel like it's a privilege to take care of people and make sure that they're healthy. I'm so happy to do that every day, even though in the evening I'm exhausted, but I will say, though, thank you, because you have granted me the privilege, so restore me and I will be able to do it tomorrow again. So I've seen God really moving, because people come to the hospital desperate and they move out of the hospital full of joy. So I'm so happy to do that. I'm committed to do more.
It was raining, and the van I was driving skidded and flipped over. I was terrified. I lost consciousness for an hour. I couldn't see anything. I lost the ability to do anything. A doctor in Cameroon wanted to amputate my leg. I spent 5 months with traditional healers. I suffered terribly. My boss told me that he'd been in a similar accident, but when he went to Guinabor 2 Hospital, he got better. That's why he brought me here. My leg is starting to heal. The doctors here are really looking after me. I think that by the grace of God, everything is going to be okay.
For those who have no idea about Chad and about Guinabor Hospital, Chad is a country where most of the people don't earn much to survive, and they need care. So the most that most people come here because they know that they don't have much, but we're gonna care for them. I would say to anyone who is hearing this message, you can make a difference in many lives.
My boy is alive thanks to this hospital.
Coming here has strengthened my faith.
I'm so happy. I trusted the midwives. I knew I'd have a good birth.
If my family, my friend, my brother fell ill, I'd call Kabasu.
You can save a life. You can bring someone to Jesus. That's for eternal life. So there is a lot to give.
Today, I can give malaria treatments to patients who come to us.
Today, I can diagnose over 30 patients. Will you help me?
Today, I can give the right medicine to the people who desperately need it. Will you help me?
Today, as a doctor, I'm pleased to heal people that come to this hospital.
Today, as a midwife, I can help 10 mothers give birth.
Today, I can help ensure that we give quality care to all of our patients.
Today, I can pray with patients in the operating theatre. Will you help me?
We have Jesus to give to people, but we have skills to give good quality care.
It costs just £13 to ensure each patient receives the quality care they need. For £13, you could help us save a life. And if you could give more, £80 can provide a nurse to take care of critically ill patients for a whole week. And could your fellowship come together to raise £695? That would mean 52 patients being cared for, 4 life-saving surgeries, and 5 babies making it safely into the world.
We deliver babies, we remove cancers, we stitch up gunshots. We identify coronavirus symptoms and get sufferers the help they need. We bind up wounds and perform surgery. We pray for the brokenhearted. We show poor people a Christian welcome and we see them come to faith in Jesus. We do all of this every day. We do it through the heat and the long hours and the tears. We do it through the fear of Boko Haram. We do it because people here need us and because Jesus commands it. We do it thanks to you.
I'm proud of the hospital because the hospital is really making a big difference.
Let's pray together. Father, we just want to thank you just now for BMS and all that they're doing. We thank you, God, for every worker who is out in the mission field just now with BMS. And we ask, God, that you would bless each and every one of these people. Father, just now we want to bring before you Operation Chad. And as we think of this country, God, we don't know too much about it other than the video that we've just seen there. But God, you know everything about it. So Father, I ask that you would bless the people who are over there just now carrying out your work, and we ask that you would strengthen them just now. We ask that you would use them, Father. I thank you for the skills that you've already given these people and that they're using them for your name. And as they continue to do this, Father, I ask that you would continue to use them, that every patient that they come across, that these patients would receive of you, and that they would come to know you, Father. I thank you that not only can we receive physical healing from you, but we can also receive eternal healing, Father. So I pray that these people who are met by the workers through BMS, that they would come to know you as well. I thank you for that anaesthetist who said that while he's working with people, while he's operating with people, that he is able to pray for these people. And I thank you that you hear these prayers. And God, I ask that you would take these prayers and that you would answer them. We thank you that you're a faithful God. And I ask, God, that you would answer these prayers and that these people would not only receive physical healing, but also eternal healing and eternal life, Jesus, through you. I ask that these people in Chad just now, that they would be strengthened in their walk with you, that you would give them encouragement to carry on, Father. And I ask for us here at East Mains that you would give us generous hearts for the giving of Operation Chad. And Father, I ask that as we give, that you would take this money, that you would bless it and that you would multiply it. And I thank you that you know exactly where this money can be put to use for your children who are over there needing you just now, Father. So we just want to thank you for all who you are, and we thank you for your faithfulness, and we thank you for your faithfulness in Operation Chad as well, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Church family, it's Saturday the 3rd of October. It is raining sideways outside, but we are here to collect donations for the amazing work of the food bank and all that they do. And in good East Mains tradition, we always have our harvest quiz. Every harvest service that I've been part of, we have our BMS harvest quiz. Lets us know more about the work of BMS and what they're doing around the world. So we're going to keep that good tradition going. And I'm going to be quizzing people about the nation of Chad and the work of BMS that they are doing in Chad. So let's see if they know the answers to these questions. They're pretty tough. And if you at home know them as well.
Hello, hi David. So this is our BMS Operation Chad quiz. Thanks for coming down and giving your donations to the food bank. So Angela, this is the way it works. I'm going to ask you a question. There's three answers and it's A, B or C. So which of these countries has a border with Chad? Is it DR Congo, Cameroon or Mali?
Mali?
That's a tough question. I would have got that wrong.
David, how did Chad get its name? Named after St. Chad, it was named after Lake Chad, or it got the name because there are so many young single men there?
I think C's crazy enough to be true. I'm going to say Lake Chad.
Yay!
Lake well Chad, done. Well done,
thank
well
you
done.
Guys, thanks for taking... Hi, Christine. So, which would be the best greeting to use in Chad? Good day, mate. Bonjour, comment allez-vous? Or, what if it was, assalam alaikum?
Assalam alaikum, yeah, that's it.
Assalam alaikum? Yay!
Well, I just gave you the answer, so.
Yes. Okay, so, question four of our quiz is this. What is the average life expectancy in Chad? Is it 34, 52 or 67?
I would think probably 52.
And you would be correct!
Fantastic, well done!
Okay, Ray, are you ready? Your question is, how many operations were carried out at the BMS-supported hospital Guinibor 2 in 2019? Was it A, 51, B, 293, or C, 877?
Oh, there have many doctors in Chad, so 800 and whatever it was.
877, is that your final answer?
Well done, Ray. Good job.
Alec and Liz, so the question I have for you is, how much did BMS give towards staffing costs to make Guinevor 2's life-saving work possible last year? There's three possible answers. It's either A, £9,000, B, £78,000, or C, £240,000. You may confirm?
Well done. Woo.
Hi Ruth, so the question I have for you is, what percentage of Octavians describe themselves as Christian? Is it A, 44%, B, 12%, or C, 1.7%?
Could you say what that word was? What?
What percentage of Chadians?
Chadians,
yeah.
Yes.
People of Chad.
People from Chad.
They're the people from Chad.
Yeah.
How many describe themselves as Christians? Is it 44%, 12%, or 1.7%?
I would say, is that in Africa?
Yeah.
What about 12?
Unfortunately, it's 44%.
It's 44%, yeah, nearly.
It's a severe place.
So the question I have for you is this. If our church raised £695, what would that pay for? Is it A, care for 52 patients, B, performing 4 life-saving surgeries, or C, safely delivering 5 babies? Think carefully about your answer.
Safely delivering 5 babies.
Yeah, so it could safely deliver 5 babies, perform 4 life-saving surgeries, or care for 52 patients.
Care for 52 patients.
It is actually all of them.
All of the above.
Of them.
Wow.
£95 could.
Fantastic.
So good to see that clip from BMS and for Nicola to pray for us as well. As Rory and giving an update with what's been happening recently at the food bank. It is that time of the year, particularly our harvest service, when we can be thankful to God for what we have. And often we can take that for granted. So as we enter a time of worship now, let's bring our thankfulness to God for who He is. As we open our hearts to Him and focus on Him and think on Him and give to Him the worship that is due to Him. Let's just pray before we worship together. Father God, we come before You today and recognise that You are a good God. All that we have, Father, comes from You. And Lord, we thank You for the many blessings that You have bestowed upon us, for the many things that You've given us and provide for us daily. And we thank You, Lord, for those simple things, for food that we have to eat, clothes that we have to wear, families that we're part of. Help us, Lord, never to take these things for granted. So we worship You today, Father, for who You are, for all that You've done for us, for all that You continue to do for us now, and all that You will do for us. We thank You for a great living hope in Jesus today. So as we come to the Lord of the harvest, help us now to open our hearts to You as we bring You our worship and our praise. In Jesus' name.
Amen. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah. Thank you.
ourselves to come to listen to your word, that we can just, no matter where we are, no matter what room we're sitting in, who we're sitting with, that we can just be focused and listening to what it is that you've got to say to us this morning. And I just ask all this in your precious son's name. Amen.
Thank you to our worship team this morning for just leading us in that time of worship together. I wonder if you've ever found yourself in that situation where someone has asked you that question, you know, what do you think about this? What's your view on this? You know, maybe they've decorated a room in their house, maybe they've bought something, that they've written something, and they come to you saying, what do you think about this? And really what they're looking for is your perspective on it. You know, they want to know your attitude, they want to know your point of view. Now, this can be a bit tricky at times. It's made much easier if they let you know their kind of view and attitude before they ask for yours. So if you visit someone and maybe you go in and they say, I've just decorated, I've just put up this wallpaper, I love it, I absolutely love it. What do you think? Now, even if you're looking at it thinking, it's ghastly, you're not going to say that because you know that they really like it. So you might be quite diplomatic and just say, wow, yeah, I can see why you really love it. It's really you, it's your colours. Yeah, you know, where it becomes much more tricky, and let's be honest, we've all been in this situation, is when someone asks you for your perspective on something, your view on something, your attitude to something, but they don't tell you what they're thinking. So, what do you think of my wallpaper? You know, in their deadpan, and you're like, oh no, do they like it? Do they not like it? And that can be a bit of a tricky situation. And, you know, sometimes it's not easy to share what we're feeling. Maybe actually sometimes we're not wise to not share what we're thinking in those moments. But when we stop for a moment and reflect on this, you know, much of our life is about sharing our perspective on things, how we see things, how we understand things, our attitude to things. And, you know, think of today, you know, how do you feel, what is your view on that BMS video that we just watched from Chad? And it's actually really important, you know, what your attitude is towards that, because what your attitude is will then impact what your actions are towards watching a clip like that. You know, Bethan Shrubsole, the BMS worker in Operation Chad, she gives us her perspective on what she does in that hospital. She says, we deliver babies, we remove cancer, we stitch up gunshots, we bind up wounds and perform surgeries. Today I want to take you to a story in the Bible, a very well-known story, about people who were acting from a viewpoint, from a place of understanding, an understanding they had of human life and an understanding of Jesus. And I just want to say right at the beginning, if you view, you know, people as created in God's image, if you view Jesus as God's son, then that will forever change your perspective on life and your actions in life. And we're going to see this in that story in Luke chapter 5. You can read it in some of the other Gospels. It's the story of Jesus healing the paralyzed man. So let me read to you from God's word. One day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal those who were ill. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up onto the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees and teachers of the law began to think to themselves, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. Immediately, he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. Father God, as we come to your word this morning, we just ask that through your spirit, you would enable us to open your word, your life-giving, your life-changing word, and that you would speak into each heart of each person who listens to this today for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I said a moment ago, if you view people as being created in God's image, if you view Jesus as God's Son, then that will change your perspective, your attitude, your view on life, and your actions in life forever. Now let's look firstly then at our view of people. Now, what drove these pals to bring their friend to Jesus? You know, what drives people to work in that hospital in Chad? What drives you to care for the people round about you? Often it is that wonderful word, compassion. And you know, these men were spurred on because they cared for their friend. You know, he was paralyzed, and they thought, we've got to get him to Jesus. And you know, they heard about healing, Jesus healing people, and look at the effort. They take a lot of effort to get their friend lowered and into the presence of Jesus. Why are they doing this? Because their friend has a need. They perceive a need in their friend. They believe that there is a man in this house that can change their friend's life. Jesus, you know, they've been hearing about Jesus changing people's lives, and they're like, we've got to get our friend to Jesus. Where does compassion, though, come from? Often compassion flows because we value someone, or we value some cause, or something like that. And the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1 that God made us in his image. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Then we read on that God created humankind in his image, male and female. So whether you live in Scotland, whether you live in Chad, no matter where you're from in the world, every person in this world bears the image of God. And for me, that means that every person in this world has incredible value. In some way, we, the created, reflect our Creator. Yes, that has been tarnished, that has been tainted by sin coming into the world. But human life has incredible value because, as that Genesis account reminds us of, we are created in his likeness. And this, for me, affirms the value of human life. And when we get this into our hearts, the value of human life, then compassion flows out of us. We want to speak up. We want to act up. We want to speak out against. We want to do something against injustice, against poverty, against some of the issues that we see, because we've got such a high value of human life. You know, I read this week a story about a group that I'd never heard of before called the White Rose. And this group was started by a brother and sister called Hans and Sophie. It was started during the Second World War, maybe actually even before World War broke out. They were watching and witnessing what was happening under Nazism to the Jews. And they just knew that that was wrong. They were Christians, they were followers of Jesus, and they were watching the horrors that were being done, and they spoke out denouncing it, saying, you know, this is the most frightful crime against human dignity. It's a crime that's unparalleled in the whole of history. And Sophie would go on to say, you know, we fight with our words. They understood the value of human life. They were moved by compassion to speak out when many others were staying quiet. In fact, they would lose their lives because they were willing to stand up and say, this is wrong. This is not how we should treat fellow human beings. You know, these men in the story, their compassion drove them into action. They could have sat around talking about Jesus. Oh, Jesus is down the road. You know, it'd be great if we took our pal Joseph down there. I wonder what would happen. You know, they didn't just talk about it, because compassion isn't just an attitude. It also leads to action. And in fact, these guys actually, They had more than compassion. They had faith. When Jesus saw the man lowered down, he commends them for their faith. And when you bring together faith and you bring together compassion, then that is a powerful combination for effective action. Their compassion and their faith in action, you know, we see it in the story, don't they? Don't we? They get their friend, they lure him before Jesus. I mean, look at these men. They go out of their way to help their friend. You know, they are persistent. They don't give up. They get there. The place is crammed full of people. They could have looked and thought, oh, this isn't going to happen. But no, they were persistent. Up they go, onto the roof. They take risks. You know, the religious leaders are all there. They're about to break the top of someone's house so that they can get Jesus into near, so they can get their friend to Jesus. They take responsibility for a need that they see, and they carry their friend to Jesus. Now, they're an inspiration to us today, actually. Now, are we willing to go out of our way to help people? Are we willing to be persistent over a period of time when maybe someone needs or some situation needs support? Do we take those risks, like that young brother and sister, Hans and Sophie, to speak up and speak out where maybe others aren't? Do we take responsibility for a need? Now, when you see people as created in God's image, then that births such a high value for human life. And that creates and that flows compassion out of us. I mean, compassion and faith come together, then we see effective action. What does that look like in our lives? Because the reality is we're not all called to maybe lead some international help agency. We're not all called to start up and run some sort of charity. We're not all called to go out to Chad and work in a hospital. How does that seem in our lives? You know, maybe it's just being at the school gate and there's a mum that you know is struggling and you're there to care and help. Maybe it's a colleague at work that's going through some hard times and you're there to help and care for them too. Maybe it's, you know, maybe it's something like Chad. You hear about Chad and you think, what can I do about that? You know, maybe it is, you know, making that donation, however big or however small, that will just, when it all comes together, enable that ministry to continue. Or maybe it's just keeping praying for a situation and a person over a long period of time. There is always something that God asks us to do. We can't do everything, and God knows that, but we can do something. Now, when we view people as created in God's image, and when we combine that compassion and that faith, then action flows out. But before we come then to, we've looked at the view of people, before we come to look at Jesus, there is of course a group in this story who are, well, they've got a stinking attitude, haven't they? It's the religious leaders. You know, I don't want to say too much about them today other than to highlight their coldness and their aggression. When Jesus speaks up, they're like, who does he think he is? You know, they grumble in their hearts. But we want to look now at the right view of Jesus. You know, we've got the friends, haven't we? We've got the religious leaders. We've got the crowds. We've got the paralyzed man. And right in the middle, there is Jesus. And the first thing Jesus does is very unexpected. It would have been very unexpected to the friends. They would have gone to all that effort. They would have lowered their friends down. They would have heard about Jesus healing other people. They would have been waiting for Jesus to say, get up and walk. You know, because their perception of their friend's need was about his physical challenge. But Jesus sees a greater need in this man's life. And he says, young man, your sins are forgiven. Wow. Did this cause a stir? Blasphemy, the religious leaders shout out. Only God can forgive sins. But neither the friends, probably neither the crowd, neither religious leaders fully understood who Jesus was. I mean, there he was amongst them, the Son of God, living without sin, who would soon die for the sins of the world, who would rise again to bring us back into a relationship with the Father God. God is there amongst them. And they were all looking for physical healing. But Jesus deals with the greater need. And there is this outcry, and Jesus is aware of it. And so he says to them, is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or to stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat and go home. And that's what happens. That man in Victoria goes away rejoicing. Now I wonder what your view is of Jesus today. You know, this story actually takes us to the great question that the Alpha Course often starts with. Was Jesus just some madman? Was Jesus some incredible teacher and leader that inspired so many lives for generations to come? Or is he indeed the Son of God? This story reminds us of the distinctiveness of Jesus as God's Son. Because he's about to show, as I've read to you, the religious leaders that their attitude to him was wrong. He's about to show everyone that around him that, you know, he doesn't just heal people physically, because he's got authority, because he's God in flesh. He's got authority to forgive sins. And he proves that by healing that man. And that man goes home one happy person. You know, Rebecca McLaughlin, she's actually going to be speaking at the Scottish Baptist Conference on Saturday the 24th of October. It's called Canopy. Fantastic opportunity for all the Baptist family to come together for once and be involved in the conference. And we'll get more detail out to you about that near the time. But Rebecca McLaughlin, in her book Confronting Christianity, reflects on the distinctiveness of Jesus. You know, she's wrestling with that question. You know, is Jesus just one way to God? Is there many ways to God? And this is what she writes. Time and time again, the Gospels record Jesus doing the outrageous things only God can do. Commanding the wind, forgiving sins, feeding the multitudes, raising the dead. Then she goes on to say, Jesus claims to rule over all of heaven and earth. He presents himself not as one possible path to God, but as God himself. We may choose to disbelieve him, but he cannot be one truth among many. He has not left us that option. How do you view Jesus? Because your view of Jesus will completely change your perspective on life. It will change how you see people and how you see the needs of people. Like those friends, you will seek to bring people to Jesus. And yes, Jesus helps with our physical and our emotional and so many areas of our lives. But it's also known that he deals with the greatest need in our lives. We bring our friends to Jesus because he deals with the greatest need. He forgives them their sins. He brings them into a new way of living, a new hope, a peace, a love that will never fail. Jesus came into this broken world to deal with broken lives. And this story is a picture, really, of what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to liberate us. And he liberates that man in a way that man was never expecting. Young man, your sins are forgiven. You know, as we view people created in God's image, as we view Jesus as God's Son, then we forever will change our perspective, our attitude on life, and our actions in life. Let me read to you the whole quote from that BMS worker that I quoted at the beginning, a lady working in that hospital in Chad. Because I didn't read the whole quote, I just read the start. I want to finish it for you. She said, we deliver babies, we remove cancers, we stitch up gunshots, we bind up wounds, and perform surgeries. You know, that's compassion. That's taking care of the physical needs of the people that come into that hospital. But then she goes on to say, we pray for the brokenhearted. We show poor people a Christian welcome. And we see them come to faith in Jesus. So that's that. When we view Jesus as Lord and Saviour, then we want to introduce people to him. Then she goes on to write, we do all this every day. We do it through the heat, the long hours and the tears. That reminds us of those friends who were willing to keep going, who kind of persevered, who took responsibility. Then she says, we do it because people here need us and because Jesus commands it. As we come to bring this to a close, I wonder to whom or for what is God calling you to today? You know, when we think about what it means to be a follower of Jesus, when we think of our vision of a new way of living, following Jesus as we live connected and be transformed and change our world, you know, that comes out of a heart of compassion. It comes out of compassion and faith together that lead to action. It comes out of a passion for Jesus and who he is. You know, the one that we want to bring people to. Like those friends, we want to bring people to Jesus. So I wonder today, who is God calling you to go out of your way for today? To keep going for today? Maybe it's a person, maybe it's a cause that God has laid on your heart. To risk raising your voice or to act where others are being silent. To carry the weight. To say, I'm going to take on this responsibility. Maybe there's a person. Maybe there's a cause. Maybe there's something that you've been doing for a long time. Maybe it's just something that God's going to lay on your heart today. You know, when we have got a view of human life, when we understand that people are created in God's image, then we place such high value on human life. When we understand who Jesus is, the Son of God, then we want people to know him. And those two things combined just changes how we see life, changes our perspective on life and our actions in life. So as we're going to come to close now, I want to just give you that opportunity to just reflect on what God is saying to you this morning. You know, maybe, you know, is there someone or something God's just laying on your heart to go out of your way for today and help them with? Maybe it's also just taking a bit of time to just say thank you to God. This is harvest service, you know. Thank you to God for the relationships in your life, for the people in your life, for your work situation, whatever it might be, your home situation. Just thank you for the small and the big things. But let us just quieten our hearts now and remain in God's presence as he ministers to us through his Holy Spirit. Lord, those friends did whatever they could do to get that man before you, Jesus. And Father, I pray for each of us today, is there something you're asking us to do to help someone come before you, to help someone come to know you? Is there a practical thing? As we've seen the hospital in Chad, they combine the practical with the spiritual, and that is one of the great ways that your church does mission out into the world, through practical acts and sharing the good news of Jesus. And, you know, we can do it through organisations, but we can just do it in our own lives. And maybe there's just something that you're laying on each of our hearts today that we can bring some help to and share the love of Jesus with at the same time. Holy Spirit, I pray that you just reveal that to us. Lord, we also want to today just thank you so much that at one time in our lives, we came before the feet of Jesus. At one time in our lives, we heard Jesus saying to us, your sins are forgiven. Thank you, Jesus. You have forgiven all our past sins, current, and all the sins to come. And we thank you for your incredible forgiveness in our lives. So Lord, we're just going to come back now into a time of worship where we just gather and praise you and worship you and lift your name high and continue to just speak into our lives. Through your Spirit we pray for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us worship God together now.
Thank you, Mark, and for that time of worship there at the end of the message as well. It's been great to join today to think on God and who he is and to be challenged afresh in our faith as well. I trust that these times for us as a church are encouraging, although they are different. Let's be encouraged to keep pressing on together as a church family.
Thank you, David. And again, yeah, thanks for joining us today. We look forward to next Sunday. We start our new series entitled Enjoying the Presence of God. So looking forward to getting into that. And let me just pray for you as we come to the end. Father God, we thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you for your Spirit that fills us afresh each day. We thank you for Jesus, our Saviour, and the hope and the purpose that he gives to our lives. And we pray for each person who is engaged in this service today, that they would be encouraged and strengthened and know your voice speaking into their lives today. For your glory, we pray this in Jesus' name. Enjoy the rest of your day tonight, 6:30. We have our corporate prayer meeting. Please join us for that. If you need any information, please get in contact with myself or our Albert. Enjoy your day.